This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
Wes, good morning. What's happening?
Oh, I'm good, Pack. Great to be with you. We've got plenty to go today. David Teal at the bottom of the hour, our friend from the Richmond Times-Dispatch, who does a great job covering the ACC. We'll get a lot of ground covered there. 8 o'clock, Tom Luganbill's here for his half-hour visit. 8:45 this morning, Cornell Powell of Clemson will join us. What a remarkable season Powell has had, kind of stepping up. He and Amari Rodgers are the go-tos for Trevor Lawrence and the Tigers in the throw game. And then at 9:15, we'll talk to linebacker Drew White of Notre Dame. The Irish welcome Syracuse to South Bend on Saturday at 2:30 Eastern time. Looking forward to visiting with Drew just to talk about the Irish defense and the effort they had not only Saturday in Chapel Hill, but what they've been building through the year. So a lot of good things happening. Plenty of guests, and looking forward to being here till 10 o'clock.
Well, we've also got basketball in the brain because it's that time of the year. Obviously, we're coming down to the stretch drive for football because it is December. Believe it or not, December 1st. We also got hoops going on, and I was finishing up last night with a little radio, and by the time I got upstairs just to see how the day was going for everybody upstairs, it's 13-0 Vegas. The Heels decided last night, hey, we're going to spot you boys 13, and then we're going to take you to the woodshed. So that's what was going on last night with basketball. And again, we got rankings and a lot of stuff we'll get into. And we got Notepad in our accounting today, which, again, we'll address all this. But it got off to a kind of a rough start last night for Roy's boys. Wes, 13-0 early. And then North Carolina said, enough of this. See you later. And they did.
Yeah, 28-4 was the run after that at the end of the first half and into the second half. With all the stuff going on yesterday, I had a few things going. I turned on, and all of a sudden I saw the rebound numbers were like 52-28 at one point late in the ball game. I was like, 52-28? Then I heard they trailed 13-0 to start, and I'm like going, holy smokes, what happened? Again, R.J. Davis played well. Garrison Brooks played well. Carolina has got, and look, we all knew a year ago there, and Seth said this last week when he was with us, right? Greenberg, they're going to be a good rebounding team. They were a good rebounding team last year. They're a very good rebounding team. Yeah. Now, I'm sure Coach Williams has graded the tape this morning or last night and looked at it and said, hey, wait a second, I'm not sure we're, you know, plus there or minus there. Pack, this is a different Carolina team, and you can say, well, all the new faces, things like that. They've got some interchangeable parts that make them pretty fascinating to watch. I'm kind of interested to see as this particular event goes on, how things set up for them. This is an interesting team to keep an eye on. And sure, Carolina's always going to be good, right? But the other night I watched some of the College of Charleston game.
What? Don't say they're always going to be good because Roy will remind you what last year looked like. Matter of fact, he thanked us in the middle of the summer. He said, I appreciate you guys not bringing up last year. But you're right. I mean, traditionally, North Carolina's the Heels, right? North Carolina's North Carolina. You know, they will jump on Stanford, by the way, this afternoon in the tournament. So, but you're right. I think your point is spot on in terms of the front court. You know, and that's what Seth was talking about last week on the show. He thinks their front court will be the best in the country. If they're not, they're on the short list, I assure you. And they will get better as the year goes on. I mean, that's what North Carolina normally does, and Roy will develop.
To me, it was like R.J. Davis. I was impressed with him. Puff Johnson hit some shots. I mean, they're just an interesting team to, I think, watch develop as we're early here in the college basketball campaign. One other game last night, and look, I still think this team's going to have a good year. I've seen most of their first three games. Boston College lost by 4 last night to St. John's, but Winston Tabbs had 23 for the Eagles. C.J. Felder had 18. Look, there's something here about this crowd, and we'll keep an eye on them. Justin Champagny's twin brother, Julian, had 29 to lead the Red Storm, by the way. B.C. is just 1-2, but I would argue B.C.'s played – well, they've played Villanova, Rhode Island, and now St. John's. That might be the strongest first three of anybody right now so far. But Jim Christian's team's got several little pieces, little wrinkles here. Interesting team to keep an eye on as we move into December for sure.
One thing I will point out, and again, it's really early. So I don't think you should draw any crazy conclusions of a team's going to be great or a team's going to be overrated and they stink. It's too early for that.
Right.
But there has been a trend I have already seen, and it's not surprising. It was much like football when you saw no spring, no summer, and little detail stuff was really choppy early. I think college hoops has been a little choppy early, and it should be, right, given what we've all been through from a pandemic standpoint. But, like, for example, last night BC had 19 turnovers. And, you know, you turn the ball over 19 times, I don't care who you're playing. You're going to have some issues. Duke, we talked about the Blue Devils a little bit yesterday, and Johnson was awesome in his debut, right, as a freshman. 19 points, 19 rebounds, and blocks and assists. But Duke turned it over 22 times. And all of a sudden, you know, you beat Coppin State by 10. Duke tonight has Michigan State. Really looking forward to watching that game. But I kind of have seen this a little bit. I mean, you've seen some really high turnover numbers. And like I said, not that that is surprising given the lay of the land. But, you know, when you try to win close games and you're a team like BC that's trying to come back and say, listen, we have to have a good year, those little things will get you beat in a tight game. And, again, Jim Christian, I think his guys have shown you signs of life where they could be, hey, if things fall right, they can stay healthy this year. They may be able to cause some issues and some trouble for some ACC teams. But that was a tough loss for them last night.
Yeah. And you mentioned some of the games that get hyped up tonight. Here it is, 7:30 tonight, part of the Champions Classic. We'll get a look at Duke and Michigan State tonight. Mm-hmm. Blue Devils right out of the gate. No fan in attendance at Cameron, of course. So that'll be an interesting environment in which to see the ball game and what we are typically accustomed to what we will see. But we'll get a look at the Blue Devils again in a home setting, if you will, so to speak, against a Michigan State team that a lot of people think highly of, too. So here again, nice, interesting early season test. I'm with you, Mark, on turnovers. And sometimes you have to look at shot selection, too, you know? Shot selection is another one of those things that comes into play when you haven't had exhibition games, you haven't had those closed scrimmages, as it were. I think that's something that has to work itself out in the first, 10 days, 2 weeks, depending on, you know, what your particular team's makeup is.
Coach K and Tom Izzo, we're talking about two all-time greats here. But when they've seen each other face to face, it has been a Duke runaway. K is 12-2 against Tom Izzo, and has never lost to him in the regular season ever since Hardwood. Right? Since Hardwood, Coach K has never lost to Tom Izzo in the regular season. This game tonight will be intriguing for a lot of reasons. Number one, it should be a good game. These are two incredible programs. Number two, the respect factor with the way both of them put their programs together. Even though K's gone a lot of one and done, Tom Izzo really does not go that route. The respect factor on both sides is through the roof. The fact that we're going to see the game of this magnitude in front of no one will also be intriguing. I love this whole Champions Classic. It's tied in with Kansas and Kentucky. They play later on in the night. They do this thing on a rotation basis. And again, this is a little bit different given the pandemic. This game happened to be at Cameron Indoor. But if you're a basketball junkie, man, this is your kind of night, man. Put your feet up. Yeah, you got 4 or 5 great hours of hoops. And I think we'll learn a lot about both these teams, regardless of what happens in terms of outcome, who wins, who loses, the way the game's played. I still expect it to probably be a little choppy, a little sloppy, because it is early. But, man, the magnitude of the programs and the importance of early basketball, especially given this schedule this year, Wes, which you're not going to be seeing teams play 35, 36 games. There's a little bit more magnitude in terms of the importance of the game. So I think if you're a basketball junkie, tonight's a good night.
By the way, a Duke win tonight would be Mike Krzyzewski's 200th as an AP top 10 team against an AP top 10 team. Look at the stat. I mean, just look at it. With a win tonight, 200th as a top 10 team against a ranked opponent, most all time. 200.
That's a crazy number.
200 wins as a top 10 against a rank. It's a crazy number.
It really is.
First of all, it speaks to how good you are. And then the other note about it is who you play. Now, you're wondering to yourself, okay, well, that's the lead. How big a lead is it? Well, just sample size this, if you will. Dean Smith, 143. Roy Williams, 121. Just in terms of AP top 10 against a ranked opponent since the poll era started. That's just, just to give you kind of some context of it.
You know what that stat that you see on the screen right now tells you? We as basketball fans, I don't care what team you root for, we as basketball fans in this particular conference exclusively have been spoiled rotten. That's what that tells me. Because the excellence is so good. I mean, it's such a standard that you just assume, as you said earlier, North Carolina's good every year. You just assume it, right? Even though last year was a bump in the road. Again, this is why the ACC is the ACC in hoops. And what Tony Bennett's built, you had Louisville's tradition and history. You do the same thing with Syracuse. It's crazy. But Leonard Hamilton now doing his thing at Florida State. We are spoiled rotten when it comes to basketball.
Yes, we are.
Thank goodness.
Yep. Duke, by the way, and you mentioned this, Pack, Trey Jones, Vernon Carey, Cassius Stanley have all moved on to the next level. You mentioned Jalen Johnson, DJ Stewart, Jeremy Roach. I mean, they've got guys now. The plug-and-play aspect of this has certainly taken shape. Turnovers probably a little high for Coach K the other day. Against Michigan State, you do that. The ball game might hang in the balance tonight. But looking forward to seeing the Blue Devils and Spartans tonight at 7:30 over on ESPN as part of the Champions Classic doubleheader. Don't forget the college football playoff, I think, falls in between that or before. I think before that tonight. Right before that is the CFP rankings. Remember, it used to be at halftime. They used to have them in between games.
I can't imagine there's going to be a whole lot of movement. I mean, Bama destroyed Auburn in the Iron Bowl. Notre Dame was fantastic on the road at North Carolina. Clemson obliterated Pitt, and Ohio State was on the couch. So I can't imagine there's any movement at all in the top four. And then you throw in, you know, Florida won their deal, A&M won their game, Cincinnati doing their thing. So, you know, I don't know how much drama there is tonight. Not to undersell our family of networks here, but quite frankly, other than Northwestern losing. This is how weird we are in college hoops. I mean, excuse me, college football.
Oh, yeah.
Northwestern loses over the weekend, right? Yesterday, It's announced their game with Minnesota is canceled. And basically, because of that, Northwestern's going to clinch the West in the Big Ten. So that's the world that we're currently living in. And again, from a football perspective, knock on wood, I just hope we can get two games this week. I say it every week, and it's never been more important. And we were sitting here on a Tuesday morning, and we'll probably say the same thing Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and even Saturday morning, hoping that we can get through this and have games this week.
There you go. All right. A couple of other games, by the way, of note. 4 o'clock this afternoon, Virginia will host St. Francis of Pennsylvania on ACC Network. We've got Louisville and Western Kentucky, by the way. Good ball game there. 6 o'clock tonight here on ACC Network as well. One other couple notes here. Barama Sidibe has torn a meniscus in the opener for Syracuse on Friday against Bryant. He'll have surgery today. We wish him the very best. Hope that's not a long-term situation. He can get back. Big defensive presence in the zone for Jim Boeheim's team. So Sidibe, who was by all indications off to a pretty good preseason start, that's a tough injury for the Orange to take early in the year. We go to break. Players of the Week announced. Kevi Aluma of Virginia Tech and Jalen Johnson of Duke. Player and Freshman of the Week, respectively. Taylor Soule, the Women's Player of the Week. Haley Van Lith of Louisville is the Women's Rookie of the Week. And that's a quick check of hoops right here at the top. We got a lot to go. We've already told you. David Teal, Tom Luganville, Cornell Powell, Drew White. And when we come back, that's a good-looking gray shirt that Dave Doran's got there, Pack. You might like one of those.
There's the gray one.
Oh, the hoodie.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. Conference cuts on a Tuesday with Packer and Durham coming up next on ACCN.
the Packer and Durham podcast. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
I have no interest in going back to Florida State. That opportunity was there. It's no longer there. I'm anxious to play Boston College and then Virginia Tech. And then hopefully we play well enough to be considered for postseason, and we go from there.
Well, I would say that did Dabo just hand him the script
there, like on that one? Chances on that one, Bronco.
I just think that, what can you say? You know, folks are making an effort to go play and follow the protocols, and you show up, you're ready for game day, and you don't play. You know, we told everybody this wasn't going to be easy. Bronco wasn't real thrilled, I don't think, if we played all that cut with the protocols of, you know, the ACC's testing. I don't think he was blaming Florida State at all. He was basically saying the way this is laid out, we've all kind of put ourselves in a position where this could happen. And it's now happened in back-to-back weeks.
Yeah.
And, Dabo's sitting there going, hey, we could have tested again. And, you know, they did test again. They didn't have any positives last week. They could have played. I still think they could have played that game last week. I don't care what anybody says. And it's a shame they didn't. And Virginia made the effort to play. And Florida State, because of their protocols, all of a sudden had apparently someone tested positive in contact tracing. Next thing you know, because of the way the lay of the land is, you find out the information and, hey, we only got 44 guys that can play. You can't go. So, like I said the other day, you know, everybody I think has followed the protocols, but there are some loopholes that cause issues. And Bronco made it perfectly clear, we're not going back. Dabo made it perfectly clear, we were there to play. We're not going back. So, where this goes, Wes, I don't know. Again, we know that the scheduling is going to get flip-flopped all over the place in December. Maybe Florida State will have a game December 12th. Maybe they don't. I don't know what the answer is right now on December the 1st.
Yeah, I think there's more to come. We'll talk to David Teal about the particular situation with Virginia and Broncos comments coming up bottom of the hour. Let's jump into some of these conference cuts on the heels of that. Pardon the pun, Mac Brown talking to the media yesterday about his team getting ready to play Western Carolina on Saturday at noon here on ACC Network after the tough loss to Notre Dame.
It's about your process. It's not going to be hard because our guys have to go back to work. And their goal is to be as good as a Notre Dame, to be as good as a Clemson. That's who we want to be, and we're not there. So every day that you practice, you got to practice against Notre Dame. You got to practice against Clemson. You got to practice against a team like Miami that is a top 10 team. And by doing that, then you're ready to play each week. And I think that's the big thing. And people will say, well, this game's not important. Well, try to lose it. And then it becomes important. So they're all important. And we need to play our best. The other thing that I've told guys for my 40-something years in coaching is, if you go out to practice not ready to practice, you'll get hurt. You don't get to play anymore. You go into a game on Saturday and you're not ready to play, you get hurt because you're staying around, because Western's going to be excited. So get excited. We've got some things we got to fix. We need to build on the progress that we made on defense, and we've got to go back and do a better job on offense. So and continue to improve on special teams, because we've got three games left, hopefully, here as we look at the end.
Here's the thing, Pack, I've always respected about Mac Brown, and I don't proclaim to be an expert in knowing exactly what he's thinking, but when you heard that comment right there, Mac Brown has never forgotten 2-20. You know, he's never forgotten the 2-20. Even when he was at Texas and things like that, those first 2 years at Carolina when he first showed up in the 80s, he hadn't forgotten that. It's just, you can tell by the way he approaches things like this subject that he's not forgotten about the struggle of the start when he first arrived in Chapel Hill years ago.
Well, I think when you see incredibly successful coaches, especially ones who have been around the block, and Mac falls under all those categories, people will talk about the championships, but normally coaches remember the opposite, right? I guarantee if Mike Krzyzewski walked through the French doors right now, He'd go into detail about how he got beat by 100 to Virginia. And they talked about, hey, never forget that night. And here's a guy that's won multiple. Same thing with Mack Brown. He's won titles and he's won the national championship, the whole routine. He absolutely understands the attention to details. And I know he went off yesterday talking about penalties. And that is what he's kind of talking about. The little things will get you beat. You know, you got to be ready to get to work every single day and do the little things that will get you to become a Notre Dame or a Clemson, like he said, to get to that standard. So I think he's 100% right with what he was preaching yesterday.
Dave Doran over in Raleigh, by the way, has got a chance to get NC State to 7 wins on Saturday against Georgia Tech. He talked about that opportunity for his Wolfpack.
Yeah, I think people analyze things in so many ways. And if we do something great, there's going to be those people out there that want to diminish it. That's just how people are. They want to be negative. The bottom line is we didn't choose how they set this thing up this year. You know, we didn't pick who we play. We didn't get to pick any of it. We lost a lot of good players. We've been through a lot as a program. And to go from one ACC win to wherever we end up, 6 times as many wins or 7 times as whatever that is, right? Whether that's a record or not a record, that's pretty damn good. And I think that's what we got to look at is how much we improved in a 12-month window where it was pretty nuts, you know, with all the things we had to deal with. So everybody involved gets credit for that. And people that want to downplay what we did, just look across the country. There's a lot of teams that went the other direction that were really good teams a year ago that can't win right now. And I think that there should be some credit given to everybody in this program and to Boo, I mean, administratively, what he's done, and to our strength coach and their staff. I mean, there's so many people involved in this, but ultimately the players bought in and they've done a tremendous job getting us to this point where we're having these conversations.
Again, he's right. And here's the other thing. Never, ever apologize for a win. Ever. I mean, you put too much work into it, man. And this is true, more so this year maybe than ever before because of the pandemic. You never apologize for winning, ever. And Coach is right. If somebody wants to try to rip you down, you know what? The more success you have, the more people are looking to tear you down. That's just the way it works. You know, if you're sitting there going 0-10 every year, if you're Vanderbilt, people forget. They don't even care. Whatever, man. Do whatever. But the more you win, the more other folks want to tear you down. And that's true whether you're a football coach, a radio TV show host, a network, insurance company. I don't care what it is. Never apologize for winning. Ever. Period. He's right.
Next stop on this is Charlottesville. More from Bronco Mendenhall talking about his team's success thus far in the season and even kind of coming off of postponement/cancellation.
It's just playing's more fun than watching. And we've committed and sacrificed, our players especially, and that's where I have an issue when policies don't allow them to be cared for at the highest level. And they want to play. That's why they've been in their dorm rooms or in their apartments. That's why they're limiting their social interaction. It's why they're following protocols. It's why they've been available for every game. It does not mean that we're perfect, and it doesn't mean that we couldn't have a slip up. But they're more anxious to play the longer that we don't play. And I think that's probably the only explanation I can give.
Man, the coaches are spewing some truth bombs right now, boys. I'm telling you, 100% right. I don't think anybody's looking to duck anybody. These guys have put in such ridiculous efforts just to try to compete. And when you have that thing taken away from you, man, that's got to sting big time. So, again, I think Broncos spot on.
Yeah. All right. A week from Saturday, we'll get the Commonwealth Cup with the Cavaliers and the Hokies. Last stop on this tour of conference cuts is in Blacksburg.
Justin Fuente.
Put a lot of thought together about facing the Tigers at Lane Stadium.
Oh, you know, every now and again you come up against a guy or you see a guy or you get a chance to coach a guy that you really say there's nothing this guy can't do. And when you look at Trevor, what he's been able to accomplish, the efficiency of his play, you know, his ability to run the ball basically when they need him to, but deliver the ball down the field and run the offense, and by all indications, he seems to be a great leader as well. So, you know, probably going to be the number one pick in the draft, deservedly so. I can't imagine a more talented – there's certainly be a learning curve for him at the next level, but a more talented a guy – I can't imagine a more talented or a guy with a higher ceiling than what his potential is moving forward.
Trevor, we got something stronger than water.
We got to go to break.
David Teal, does David Teal have a question?
We'll ask him in just a moment. Yeah, David Teal coming up. Yeah. We got a triple header of college football for you here on ACC Network. Starts at noon on Saturday. Roddy Jones, LaRisha Harris, and I will be at Keenan Stadium for ACC football presented by Geico. You'll get the Catamounts and the Tar Heels. And then 4 o'clock, Georgia Tech, NC State from over Carter Finley Stadium in Raleigh, presented by Dr. Pepper. And then primetime, Miami and Duke, presented by Geico, all on ACC Network, streaming live on the ESPN app. And the great David Teal is with us next when we continue on ACC Network.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Tuesday. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the show. All right, let's bring him on because there's a lot to cover. He knows all.
Let's get to you. We got God. Come on.
He knows
let's
all.
Go.
David let's Teal, go. Good morning. How are you?
Gentlemen, good morning. Hope you're well.
We are. We're just grinding away, and it's hard to believe it's already December, but there's a lot to cover here with you. Let's first start. Since we just did conference cuts, Bronco Mendenhall in Virginia make the trip to Tallahassee, get the day tour, and they're back home. Where are we going with this? I mean, the ACC, obviously, this was always a possibility. We saw it the week before with Clemson and Florida State. We see it now with Virginia and Florida State. It's not going to happen with the Noles this week because they're not going to go to Duke. But where are we big picture with this?
Guys, for 70 football games in more than 2 months, this possibility loomed and yet did not transpire. The medical advisory group knew it was possible. The athletic directors knew it was possible. The coaches knew it was possible. And then, bang, 2 weeks in a row. And not only that, at the same institution, Florida State and Virginia, delayed its departure Friday from Charlottesville until approximately 6 p.m. to make sure its test was all in hand, but got on that airplane knowing that Florida State's was not. And then, you know, as we mentioned during break, I know few people on this planet who are as wedded to structure and routine as Bronco Mendenhall. And I can't imagine his reaction Saturday morning when he was told, nope, you're not playing.
Hey, David, you wrote a lot about this process from the league side and kind of the differentials that the ACC has from the other Power Five in this. So really, again, as we've talked in the past, I don't think anybody realized when the season started there's one different test that's done Monday, Wednesday, and then the Friday test is the one administrated that's contracted by the league and administrated essentially by the league. But those timings are what makes this the more complex scenario, where these teams essentially are in air and in an unknown. And even if you're a home team, you're sleeping on the unknown, because as I've been told by some schools, you might not get your answer till 2 o'clock in the morning on Saturday. That kind of situation. Is that where this situation started from? The fact that the test actually occurs on a Friday and not a Thursday night or a Thursday afternoon, as it is with some of the other Power Five conferences?
Wes, that's exactly right. And it's not only the timing of the test, it's the type of the test. This is the PCR test. This is the nasal test that the medical people believe is the most accurate, but it also takes the most time to process. So there you have this light. This is an imperfect season in an imperfect world, and there is no perfect testing protocol. What the ACC Medical Advisory Group did was erred on the side of caution and wanted to have as late a test as possible to ensure as best as possible that everyone on the playing field was safe and healthy.
All right, let's go across the state. Virginia Tech has Clemson and Virginia left. God willing, knock on wood that we see these games, and who knows. But November was not one to remember in Blacksburg. 0-3, and it just seemed like everything that could go wrong went wrong. So with that said, again, another one of these big pictures, what are we going to get from the Hokies in December? Clemson this week and then Virginia afterwards.
Pack, Clemson is a tall order. That's a team that is motivated, that needs to win to advance to Charlotte and keep its playoff hopes alive. You know, you played the conference cut of Justin Fuente talking about Trevor Lawrence. You know, that's a big-time quarterback who hung 31 on Pittsburgh the other day in a blink of an eye. You know, a Pittsburgh defense that shut down Justin Fuente's Hokies and held them to 2 touchdowns 2 weeks ago. I don't think anyone envisions Virginia Tech springing an upset on Saturday, but I think what Hokies fans and the coaching staff want to see is how this team responds to the one time this year. You know, it has had some heartbreaking defeats. The Pitt game was a beatdown. It was no contest for the final 20-plus minutes. And now coming off your first open date in 10 weeks, you know, BC and Virginia Tech are the only teams in the country that played 9 consecutive weeks in the middle of a pandemic this season. And, guys, that's a slog in a normal season, even more so in 2020.
David, Quincy Patterson entered the transfer portal yesterday. I don't know that anybody can be surprised about this. I mean, Hendon Hooker established himself as a quarterback. Braxton Burmeister was the backup. They've got some young freshmen on the roster as well. I mean, QP wants to play. He's going to have to go find a spot. That's transactive landscape we have in college athletics. He's certainly free to do so. In fact, it probably won't cost him anything because the NCAA will give him the extension on the waiver that will certainly be passed in January. So that thought, I don't know how anybody's really shocked to hear that news yesterday.
Not shocking. And Wes, the parties are separating just as friendly as you can imagine. Justin Fuente yesterday raved about Quincy Patterson. This will be one of those transfer situations where Fuente and his staff will advocate for this young man to whatever school is interested in him. They had nothing but good things to say about one another. Quincy had some posts on social media. And this is just about playing time and getting on the field. And as you said, with Hooker and Burmeister established, Patterson, you know, knew that wasn't going to happen. And not only that, he got dinged up at Pittsburgh, so he wasn't going to play the rest of the season anyway because of a thumb. So why not start the process now?
All right, let me switch gears and go hoops with you. Virginia is picked for the first time to finish first in the league since 82. They lose to San Francisco. The Hokies, the Hokies aren't going to be any good. Old Mike Young up there, he ain't got nothing. Well, they go do what they do every year. You're number three in the country, cool, let's play. And they knock off Villanova. I know it's only a weekend of games, but what do we know, David Teal, much less about Virginia, Virginia Tech, or anybody else for that matter?
Well, I don't know that we know much, Mark, but what we knew coming into the season about Virginia Tech is this roster is bigger and older, especially with the addition of transfers such as Keve Aluma, Cordell Pemsel, Cartier Jara. I mean, we're talking about guys who have played a lot of college basketball at very high levels. And they bring to Virginia Tech experience and size that the Hokies clearly lacked last season. And it was evidence against Villanova. You know, that call at the end of regulation that forced overtime, as bizarre as it was, to a younger team, that would be deflating. You go into overtime, you'd have no legs. And it was just the opposite for the Hokies. In a way, it energized them. They came out. Justin Mutz, another transfer from Delaware, he scores the first 5 points of OT, and the Hokies are off, and they beat Villanova. Heck of a win.
Yeah, heck of a win indeed. You're worried about Tony Bennett, or are there just little growing pains the other day against Drew Brooks' seventh-grade teammate, Todd Golden of San Francisco?
Yeah, I think Tony Bennett and the Cavaliers will be just fine. I think with Sam Hauser, Joey Hauser, I've got him on the brain, yeah. Michigan State Duke tonight, sorry. I think the Cavaliers on offense, you know, and where Tony Bennett is concerned, as he always is on the defensive side, and that's where USF did some business. Hitting threes, the pack line was not as effective as usual. But that'll get corrected. We know it will. It always does.
I'm going to switch gears on you one more time. You wrote a story over the weekend regarding the next ACC commissioner. What can you tell us?
Well, I think the search, guys, is winding down. I mentioned four prominent candidates. That would be Clemson president Jim Clements, ESPN executive Burke Magnus, former Florida State AD and current NCAA executive vice president Stan Wilcox, and West Coast Conference commissioner Gloria Navarez. That doesn't mean that the search might end up elsewhere. I've covered enough searches to know that they can always veer at the last minute. But those are four candidates that certainly have the attention of the ACC presidents.
David, is it to the point where the executive committee of these board of directors now has kind of their work to do here, or is the search firms, the two firms, Venture and Turnkey, still playing a role in it?
I think Ventura and Turnkey have pretty much handed it off, Wes, and that it's in the hands of the presidents. Now, what their timetable is, I don't know. Obviously, with the pandemic, they have plenty going on their respective campuses. But I still think by the first of the year is a very viable timeline for John Swofford's successor to be appointed and then give, you know, quite a long runway for a transition.
Is there a common thread amongst those four, David, or is that just, hey, those are four incredibly qualified people, needless to say, in what they've accomplished? But is there a thread amongst those four?
Well, I think if you're looking for one, Mark, it's, you know, every ACC commissioner hired previously, and there have only been four, you know, have come from the AD ranks. And if you look at this group, only Stan Wilcox has been an athletic director, and he is not a sitting AD. So in that regard, it's kind of a non-traditional field. And commissioners don't usually come from academia. But in the SEC, back in the 80s, they hired two commissioners from academia. and including Harvey Schiller, who was the head of the chemistry department at the Air Force Academy before he became the Southeastern Conference commissioner. So even that would not be unprecedented.
Stan Wilcox also, by the way, was a basketball player at Notre Dame. Worked for Kevin White at Duke. At what? I'm sorry, David?
He was on the Fighting Irish's Final Four team that played against Duke St. Louis. Yeah, coached by Digger Phelps. Kevin White hired Stan Wilcox twice, once at Notre Dame and once at Duke, and Kevin White was on the Commissioner's Search Advisory Committee. So I don't think that's a sheer coincidence.
Yeah, okay. There we go. Mr. Teal, fabulous as always. Appreciate your time. Stay well. Look forward to catching up again soon.
More Justin Fuente impressions, Pat. Keep them coming.
I'll do my best. I'll do my best.
All right. When we come back, Mac goes on Mondays. Packer and Durham deliver accounting on Tuesdays. The Fan speaks Wednesday. Pack says it's not that hard.
It's not.
He's right. It's not that hard. We'll come back and give you this week's version of accounting ahead of an 8 o'clock visit with Tom Luganville next on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Tuesday. It is now time for our accounting. We do this every Tuesday, and you at home watching and or listening, you can participate. Hashtag Packer and Durham. You come up with your top 15. If you want to get creative and come up with a Sweet 16 spot, you can do that as well. Mr. Durham, tag, you're it.
All right. Thanks, Pack. No surprise. Not a lot of movement, to be honest with you, in this week's edition. Notre Dame continues to stay atop of the accounting for me. Clemson, Miami, Carolina. I moved Wake Forest into the four slot ahead of Carolina. Just because we'll see. I think Tar Heels are still there. Don't get me wrong. This thing is fluid week to week. BC, NC State. I think that's like a 6A, 6B type thing, by the way, too, Mark. Virginia Tech, Pittsburgh, Virginia, and then Georgia Tech, Louisville, Duke, Syracuse, and I moved Florida State down to 15. Syracuse, to the point of Pack yesterday, Syracuse plays hard every snap. They give it to you. It's not been a great year, wins and losses. We've talked about it. But the effort cannot be questioned, and secondarily to that, the commitment to play cannot be questioned. So that's why I moved the orange up a little bit. I'm concerned about Duke. I know they've got the ball game on Saturday with Miami. The turnovers have just been, we're in a pandemic. The turnovers have been a pandemic for Duke this year, Pack. That's having a chance to watch them at length the other night against Georgia Tech. That was, that's not good. That's not good at all.
It's a long grind, and they had not played in 3 weeks. I'm not coming up with excuses, but when you're having a year, like we talked about this 2 months ago, what happens to teams once we get into this and all of a sudden the thing gets sideways? Is there a commitment to play? I think you're getting that answer, not only within the ACC, but nationally as well. When you turn on a game on Saturday and you see a team playing, you just kind of go, wow, it just doesn't seem like they're into it. Hey, it's a grind. It's tough. Right. The folks in Switzerland are going to love you having them up at number four. I'll tell you that right now. Swiss are going to love that four spot you put on them.
Yeah, and they got to be able to – we got to see them back on the field, by the way. I need to probably see Wake Forest play again. They've had a bit of an unscheduled break here, too.
Yep, you're right. All right, here we go. I'm giving you 16, but we start with number one. Hadn't changed. I don't think this was hard this week. Notre Dame's number one. Clemson's number two. Miami, three. North Carolina, despite what happened to them Friday night, they're four. State's a winner. They stay five. BC to six. Swiss at seven. Pitt, eight. Virginia Tech, 9-10. Hope we get that game in a couple weeks. 11 through 15 has stayed basically the same. Georgia Tech, Louisville, Duke, Syracuse, Florida State in that order. And the Sweet 16 spot, I'm telling you what, I had five or six that I could have put in there. And when I saw this yesterday, I lost it because I couldn't believe what I was watching.
Oh, yeah, you hadn't seen it yet?
I had not seen it
yet
until yesterday. Shaka Smart, I couldn't pick him out of a lineup. You kidding me? He's got hair. What's going on here? Shaka Smart's hair is 16th. I'm telling you right now, if he wasn't wearing the Longhorn shirt and you gave me a picture of him, you said, Pack, name for $1 million, name this man, I would have been over. That would have been the easiest million you'd have kept in your pocket. Shaka Smart's hair, and I could have gone so many different ways with the Sweet 16. I had some that were politically incorrect. I had some that were funny. But when I saw Shaka Smart, I just couldn't believe it. I'm just jealous. Jealous. So good for Shaka Smart. He's in the 16 spot. There you go. That's accounting. You can partake. Hashtag Packer and Durham.
What was the runner-up, by the way?
Oh, there's one if I said it. I was originally going with it, and I knew if I went with it, I would be suspended by ESPN and SiriusXM. And I was like, nah, okay, it's not worth doing it. No, I'm sorry. I took it off the table. Okay. Then I had six or seven other ones I could have thrown in there, ranging anywhere from Jim Harbaugh to the Jets to Kentucky trying to make three-point shots. And then I had a list of all kinds of stuff we could have gone with. All kinds of stuff.
All right.
Travel.
Good. Just checking.
Locations.
I just kind of wanted to find out where it was.
But, you know, there's a couple I couldn't have said. And if I gave it to you, I'm telling you that you would say it. I'd have gotten a phone call from Aaron Katzman again. Pack, if you do it one more time, we're going to have to take you off the air. So I decided not to do that.
Yeah.
So I want Shaka Smart's hair.
Well, that's good. We don't need that.
Yeah.
Like Shaka Smart's hair, it's excellent.
You know, the goal of every American worker is to be suspended with pay. And I thought maybe suspended would not be the verb there. The key there, that whole theme is the word suspended. You got to make sure it's suspended and not something else. So I went Shaka Smart's hair.
That's it. Yeah.
There it is.
Nice. By the way, you can submit your accounting 1 through 15, or if you feel the time, 16. Use the hashtag Packer and Durham. Drop it to us via Twitter. Some of you already have this week, and we appreciate that. Winner of wide receiver U, by the way, coming up later in the show as well.
I can't wait to see who won that. I purposely don't look ahead. I know we get a thing sent to us. I purposely don't look, Wes, because I want to be surprised when you announce who won. Because that one was tough. That one was really hard. By the way, was it close vote or not?
Just
give me that as a hint. Was it a close vote?
I don't know. When I checked it midway. I checked it midway yesterday. I did not look at the final results sent in the email this morning yet.
Okay. So you don't know who won.
I purposely not looked at the final results.
So you
I do not
yet.
Know who won. I know who had the lead. I know who had the lead about midday.
Don't tell me.
I will not.
We'll wait.
Yeah. And since you don't look ahead, I won't tell you that Tom Luganbill is coming up.
I knew he was
coming.
I knew Luganbill was coming.
Yeah. Tom Luganbill is here. We will talk about Clemson. We will talk about Notre Dame. And are we appreciating Ian Book in what is his only year in the ACC? Tom Luganbill, the next half hour on Packer and Durham starts next on ACC Network.
Packer and Durham.